Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Lots of ways to get in touch with us. Steve Jones at WKOK.com, our email. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. And our toll-free number is 1-800-795-9565. Got a very busy show as we head into the weekend. We cannot start the most exciting 2 minutes in all of sports without a visit from Dick Girardi, Steve Jones' longtime friend, and of course, Penn State basketball analyst on Penn State Sports Network. And now Mr. Girardi turns his efforts into racing, horse racing, that is. So we will get a preview from Dick from Churchill Downs. Dick's scheduled to join us at about 3:35, and also at 4:06 this afternoon, it'll be from CBS Sports, NFL on CBS insider Jason Lockenfora, and get a draft recap and see how things shake out for the teams as they get closer to OTAs and their many training camps. And there will be some teams bringing their draft picks in this weekend to start to work them out. Yep, training camp for football, it'll be here before we know it. And of course, we always wrap up the week with a visit from Steve's brother, Kevin Jones. Kevin will check in from up in Connecticut as we wind things down and head to the weekend here on the Steve Jones Show. And a big thank you to everybody that joined us on Wednesday as we did our annual broadcast from the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. A tremendous success with well over 40 foursomes that were involved. It was a tremendous day of golf and fellowship with great folks, all to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. So we thank everybody that took part in that on Wednesday. And big thanks, too, for our buddy Corey Fossil from Brewers Outlet, stopping by, creating our customized pinkle bar. Now, speaking of Brewers Outlet, since it is Friday, it brings us the Steve Jones Show today. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. So maybe you're going to watch the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. You got basketball playoffs. You got Stanley Cup playoffs. The Pens looking to knock out the Caps tomorrow night. So before you settle into some great sports for the weekend, you got to stock up on your favorite beverages at Brewers Outlet.
It's Cinco de Mayo, my man.
It is. Yes. Bueno.
Cinco de Mayo and yes. Brewers Outlet. Now, if I had to pick out a winning combination, that would be it.
Yes, I was just raving and craving about that customized pickle bar that Corey brought us.
Corey set us up. I'll tell you, set us up.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And the only downside was when the suit showed up and when we were on the show, took the rest of it after Corey left. It was like, what are you doing? But, all right. You want to talk about beverages?
Mm-hmm.
Wide range.
Getting thirsty.
Of beverages. Imports, domestics, microbrews. They have the best selection anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And yes, all together now.
Come on.
The pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills. You notice the barrels he brought over for me the other day? Were those great?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was specific to me when he did that.
Sure was.
So, Corey, thanks for doing that. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You've got Penn State commencement coming up this weekend. And maybe you have a commencement party. Make sure you're fully stocked for it. Okay. All Brewers Outlet. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Going to get Bob Grove on the show today to talk about the Penguins. Dick Girardi on the show today from Churchill Downs. Dick texted me last night, and it was the Ali gravestone. He made the trip over to the cemetery to pay respects. Like, wow, pretty cool. Pretty cool. And we'll talk to Dick about the Kentucky Derby. And then Jason Lockenfora today, NFL Insider. Why are the Browns the Browns? No, I'm just kidding. I don't think he can answer that. Nobody can. Have you seen the Lonzo Ball shoe and how much it costs?
Amazing.
$495. I don't think I've worn $495 worth of clothing for the week.
I know I haven't, that's for sure.
Now, anyone who knows me knows, of course, I think I dress well enough, but I'm no fashion plate. I'm not a sloppy dresser. How about
You're not a fashion slouch. No.
But I'm also not a fashion plate either. I'm not a, you know, I mean, I wear slacks and golf shirts and things like that, comfortable. But you know, it doesn't say suits bail bonds on it. It does, you know, things like that. I don't do that. But I'm also not somebody who spends a lot on clothes and things like that. I'm not a clothes horse. $495 for a pair of sneakers? I mean, everybody who buys them should be able to run 4.6 in the 40. I mean, you'd have to have them. They've got to be that good. Wow. I find that mind blowing. I mean, $495 for shoes.
How about one of the Ohio State assistant football coaches that have suggested that the signature shoe ripped off their logo? Thought that was kind of interesting.
Zach Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be between them. But I just.
Yeah, their logo, they call it Zone 6, and they said, yeah, boy, that just looks really, really close to this new Lonzo Ball shoe here.
Well, because Lonzo, they're going with the Zo, the Z-O.
Yeah.
Right, whatever. Now, obviously, the market's going to dictate the success of it. If there are a lot of people that want to pay $495 for the shoe, okay. I understand that. That's your choice. But I've got a feeling most of the people feel like I do. I'm not looking around, I'm not paying $495 for a pair of sneakers. I'm not going to do that. I mean, number one, most people don't have that kind of money because most people aren't in digital media. So it's not, you know. Oh, stop laughing.
That was good. Never gets old.
So, I mean, most people don't have that kind of money. For some people, $495, you know, for some people is a good chunk of rent, right? I mean, do people have that kind of disposable income? To spend, I mean, it's one thing to spend say, for example, you're going to be in a wedding or something like that. You want to wear something really, really nice. You know, maybe you want to go out and spend $495 on something, $495 on a suit, $495 on a dress or outfit or whatever, because you're going to something special. Okay. But on a pair of sneakers? I thought it was a big deal when I was a kid that my parents bought me a pair of Chuck Taylors. I'm like, hey, all right. I'm feeling good. My brother and I, hey, you got some Chuck Taylors.
Oh, I brought street cred back in the day.
Yeah, but we just thought it was great that they would just buy us a pair of sneakers. I mean, my parents did a lot of great things for us, but they did not buy us a lot of things. Kevin and I had to work and earn money to buy things. I had to work and earn money to buy my bike. I had to work and earn to buy a glove. I had to work and earn to buy a pair of cleats. And that's how we were brought up, that we had to work to earn the money to buy the stuff we wanted or needed. Now, later in life, my mom did say to me, and, you know, see, we probably should have given you more. You know, at that point, I said, well, you can start now. No, it's okay.
Better late than never.
I said, well, come on. And and my response to her was, Mom, you brought us up right. I said, we are two guys that in life appreciate every single thing that we have because nothing was given to us. Right? Made her feel good to accomplish the goal. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. No, but I mean, that's what I told her. I said, Mom, no. I said, you can't think that. You can't think that. I said, that's not... I said, you know, your goal was to have us appreciate and work for everything in life because you felt that that's what we'd have to do. Well, Kevin and I worked for everything that we have in life. Okay. Sometimes it's worked out really well. Sometimes it hasn't, but at least we've tried. $495 shoes. I can tell you right now, there were no $495 shoes in the Jones household growing up. That was also a different era, too. But what would compel you to buy that shoe? Obviously, you'd be a big Lonzo Ball fan, so that'd be one. Did you see the tweet at Dick Vitale today?
I did not see that.
to LeVar Ball, better tell your son to start playing better D than he did in the NCAA tournament. Isaiah Thomas, Stephen Curry, and John Wall will light him up for 50 a night.
Nice.
Okay. And Dick Vitale has spoken. But found it interesting. All right. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
$495 for a pair of shoes. You know, I mean, look, I don't mind anybody having a go for it gusto. I don't mind that at all. That never bothers me when somebody has a go for it gusto. All right, ever. It is the attitude that I think is part of the fabric of this show. And it's something that I encourage in Sean all the time. I'm constantly telling Sean all the time when it comes to booking guests and things like that, hey, look, I don't care how many no's we get, right? How many no's we get, just keep going, right? Keep getting requests out and we'll hit. That's how you end up getting a guy like Rick Neuheisel on the show, John Orrand on the show, all the people that we've had on the show, that's how we end up getting these people. Because we just keep attacking it all the time. Sean keeps attacking it all the time. It's part of our can-do that we're going to get something. Right? I mean, Sean, that's been our attitude the whole time in the show, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of funny, when you were sharing the story about you and Jack at a practice about a couple of weeks ago, and neither one of you had your phones. I mean, I'll admit, since joining you on the show, I'm using my phone more than ever before, too. Because you never know when that time hits when you're going to be able to get that person on the show. Like with Rick Neuheisel, I heard back from Rick Monday night during the rainstorm.
Right.
So, you never know when it's going to fall into place. So.
Right. But again, we're trying to book big as often as we can. Because we don't take the attitude, well, it's just the Susquehanna Valley. We're just a station in Sunbury. You can't do that. You can't have that kind of attitude.
Yeah, we always have the realization, too, hey, we have more than one show a week to do, and I'm always bouncing ideas off of you, and you've brought names toward me that I always start to work on. So, yeah, it's always happening.
Right. No, I mean, but that goes back to the attitude of the whole thing. What is the attitude of what you're trying to do? And that's the attitude of what we're trying to do here in conjunction with, you have to have a kid. So LeVar Ball's thinking big. All right. I admire that. I do admire that part, that he's thinking big. Because, I mean, that's what we encourage here. We try to think big. Now, does it mean it's going to be successful? No. Not always. And again, I would not pay $495 for a pair of sneakers. Now, there's a basic premise to it. I'm cheap. No. as Sean knows. He's cheap. You know what?
Oh, I love to go clothes shopping, but I'll tell you what, I'm always looking at the clearance rack. You just never know what you're going to see over there. So,
you know what? I don't spend a lot of time doing that. I really don't. I don't know. Just don't. I don't dress poorly. I don't. I dress in the middle somewhere, but I think I'm usually got a nice, decent shirt on, pair of slacks, shoes, whatever. But I would never be confused with any kind of fashion plate on the planet. Never would be confused with that. that's just me.
Tell you what, next year I'll probably be emceeing our Sunbury Broadcasting Bridal Show again. You can come down and be one of our guys in the tuxes. What do you say? Since you're going to have one on next month. Right.
Yes, I will.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mind if I opt out of that bridal show now, do you?
That's fine. Yes. You gave me 10 months notice, we're good.
Okay. So we'll make sure that ahead of time we know. We'll make sure there are no expectations.
No,
at all.
No. Penn State will have a basketball game that night, so you're clear.
Even if they don't, I'll make one up. Oh, man. Okay. So we're coming up to the next half hour of the show.
So we're going to talk about the Penguins today. We're going to talk about the Kentucky Derby today. And Jason LaConfora from CBS Sports, the NFL insider, is going to join us at 4:06 today. Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, soft drinks, water, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills. We got our own personal Brewers Outlet Pickle Bar at the golf course on Wednesday. Unbelievably good. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. This day in sports history, 1904, the third perfect game of the major leagues thrown by Cy Young of the Red Sox against the Philadelphia A's. It was the first perfect game under modern rules. And the first one in the American League, by the way. 1922, a contract was awarded to New York's White Construction Company for the construction of Yankee Stadium 1. 1925, Everett Scott, who's a shortstop, played for the Red Sox and the Yankees, ended his game-playing streak at 1,307 games. His record was eventually broken by Lou Gehrig. Lou Gehrig's record was eventually broken by the great Cal Ripken Jr. 1956, Jim Bailey became the first runner to break the four-minute mile in the U.S. He was clocked at 3 minutes, 58.5 seconds. I think that mile record's now down around 3:43 right now, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe even lower than that. Let me look that up. What is the mile record? Check that in a second. Willie Mays broke the National League record for home runs when he hit his 512th, surpassing Mel Ott. On that list, eventually he ended up with 660 in his career. Pete Rose, 3,000th major league hit this date in 1978.
Current world record for the mile, it's held by a gentleman from Morocco in 3:43.13. The women's record time right now is sitting at 4:12.56.
So I'm off by .13. You're going to crucify me for that?
No,
really?
No.
I mean, you're just so picky. 1995, last game played at the old Boston Garden. Orlando Magic beat the Celtics. And in 2004, it was announced that Spider-Man 2 ads would appear on bases in Major League games during games from June 11th to the 13th. The plan was canceled the next day. I'm sorry, we can't put up with that. That's not good. I can't. Spider-Man 2, we're going to put that on bases. Hey, that's at the point where you know you've gone too far. You've gone too far. All right? Way too far. Dick Girardi will be joining us. What final half hour of the show today? No, we can't. In fact, we got my brother in the final half hour, right?
I was going to ask you about that during the break.
Yeah. No, he's in.
Okay.
No, he should be in. He better be. Jason LaConfora is in the next half hour, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we have to hold on 1 second here. One quick text. Let's see. And our man can do it now. Good. So let's bring in Dick Girardi to talk about the Kentucky Derby. All of you have been holding tickets and waiting. Here's your opportunity to talk to Dick Girardi, not only the best color analyst in college basketball, but the preeminent horse racing analyst in the country. Dick, welcome.
Big billing right there. I mean, there's some pretty good horse racing writers out there, but thank you, Steve.
Hey,
I'm prejudiced, and you know it.
Yeah. Okay. It's all good. Some of my compatriots are pretty good, too. But
yeah,
thank you.
They are. They're outstanding, which if you're set apart from them, that's good. I wanted to talk before we get to the race. You texted me last night, and you sent me this awesome picture. And it was the gravesite of Muhammad Ali. You drove the 23-mile route. What was it like seeing it and then thinking about Ali's life as you drove it?
Right. Now, the vast majority of the 23 miles were highway miles, Steve, from the funeral home to the West End, which is where Ali grew up. But the West End of Louisville is the part that you really you felt it, because it's so much different, and the type of homes that are there versus downtown and the big buildings down there. It's really, time has kind of forgotten that part. So it's so cool that not only did Ali grow up there, but that he mandated that his funeral procession had to go back through where he grew up. And of course, all the people, he's been a hero to them for decades, and the fact that he decided on his last ride that he was going right back to the neighborhood where it all started was pretty cool. So yeah, it was fascinating. And I actually stopped at his house on Grand Avenue, the house he grew up in. It's now been restored as a museum. And then you continue on Broadway, which is one of the main drags right through downtown Louisville, and it ends at Cavill Cemetery, which is where he's buried, and that's where I sent you the picture of the monument that stands right above his gravesite.
Amazing. What does it? Now, you met the man, you're around him, so you got a feel for him. But what does it tell you about him that the neighborhood meant something, that he had to go through it to get to, you know, on the final procession home?
I think his greatest legacy will always be that he made everybody around him feel good. And I think that's what this was about. I think this was a final gesture for a man, to me, who was obviously one of the legendary boxers, but more than that, a humanitarian, that he wanted to make sure all of the little people, that he remembered the little people and they remembered him.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no getting around it. It's amazing the icons of that era. You know, we're at a point now where so many have passed. And now, Ali, of course, recently, and of course, well, tragically, you know, obviously, President Kennedy, we're coming up on what would be his 100th birthday the end of this month.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people you and I grew up with. So.
Yep. Yeah, it's just, I mean, President Kennedy obviously died way too soon in 1963.
Yeah.
But yeah, he didn't even get to live half the potential life he would have had.
Right, exactly. Okay, let's get to the race, which will be tomorrow. Usually you have a pretty good handle early on of who to watch and then see if there's any kind of progression through the races to get to Louisville. Has it been a little more difficult this time?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I really, Steve, as I wrote about today, I had my horse in early March Mastery, but I had him for about 5 seconds because he got hurt after he won a big prep race in California. And then after that, it was kind of scramble mode because horses would run a good one, then a bad one, and you weren't quite sure what you were dealing with. But I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I kind of settled on Irish War Cry as the most likely winner. And then I went back and reviewed everything about him, spent some time with his trainer down at Fair Hill in the northeastern corner of Maryland, and got a sense that, yeah, he's probably my horse, but I don't feel the same as I did 3 years ago when I told you, I don't know, 2 months before the race, California Pro couldn't lose.
It was February. You told me in February. It was the end of February. You said California Chrome can't lose. And then there was a prep race coming up, and you said, I'll have a better feel after I see it. And then when you watch him, he said, he won't lose.
He really can't lose. Yeah. No, but I don't have that kind of feeling, because even a horse as good as Irish War Cry, he's had a horrible race right in the middle of all those good races. So you're just not sure. Was that a one-off, or is there something going on that you're just not quite aware of? And a lot of the real contenders have that. They have those real good lines, and then they have a bad line. Unlike, say, Chrome, who was unbeaten in his three-year-old season going into the Derby, American Pharoah, same way, Nyquist last year, same way. Those were kind of horses that they didn't have any holes in them, whereas almost all these horses have a hole or more in them.
Graham Motion would be Irish War Cry's trainer, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. What kind of feel have you had for him over the years as to how he treats horses, how he gets them ready for races and so forth? Everyone has their own method. What's his?
Yeah, he's an Englishman, and he's, to me, one of the five best in the country. Now, you don't really associate him, Steve, typically with three-year-old Derby preps or the Derby. He's more of a, you think of him as a long-distance trainer of grass horses.
Right.
But when he got Animal Kingdom 6 years ago, a late developer, he got him ready for the Derby, and he wanted a big price. And I think this horse, I think he knew probably by the end of December last year that he had a chance for the Derby. So he pointed for it, sent him to Florida, where he won the first of the big prep races down there. And, yeah, he's just one of these guys. He's extremely patient, very knowledgeable, and has a real good sense of where the horses belong, what their possibilities are, never puts them in races where they're overmatched. He's a really smart, careful, good guy who I've known for quite a long time, and certainly one of the reasons why I like his horses, because I know his history so well.
I want to say Motion at Animal Kingdom, what, 6 years ago?
That is correct.
Yeah.
2011.
Yeah. He's out of the auxiliary gate, and if I recall correctly, Grand Motion is not upset about that.
Not only is he not upset, I think he's happy with it. Animal Kingdom actually won from the 16 post, Irish Work Riders in the 17.
Yep.
And Steve, my theory has been for quite a while now, in this era of the 20-horse field, the higher numbers are better for an obvious reason. You just have less chance of getting in trouble with the early cavalry charge if you're further to the outside. I mean, there have been horses totally eliminated. Union Rags here 5 years ago was a filly horse that nearer to the rail post got eliminated. Looking at Lucky Baffert had the one hole a couple of years ago, totally eliminated, came back to win the Preakness. I think he's not at all unhappy. And he's the kind of horse, you'll see him, I'd say he'd be third or fourth early.
Yeah.
In the run to run through the stretch the first time. And again, it's always better to be outside in a big battle than inside, because the jockey has more options. When you're on the inside, you often don't have any options. You just sort of got to go.
Okay, Classic Empire is going to go in as one of the favorites. Already, I mean, Arkansas Derby, that was great. I think Juvenile Breeders' Cup winner, too, I want to say.
Yeah, he was great in the Breeders' Cup, Steve, and he was a 2-year-old champ, and he certainly would have been the favorite for the Derby when the year started.
Yeah, Irish War Cry, I think, beat him in the in a race with the Holy Bull Stakes, something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Yep, yeah, that was really just an awful, unusual performance by a horse who'd never really run poorly in Classic Empire before that. The only other time he got beat, the jockey fell off at the start. The horse just, right, he bolted. But other than that, he'd been great. So it was kind of inexplicable. A couple of days later, his trainer, Mark Cassie, is a Canadian, but has really established a pretty firm base down here in the U.S. He discovered the horse had an abscess on his foot, which is a major problem. And it just took him a little bit of time to get rid of that, and then the horse had a back problem, and they didn't want to train for a while, so they really got behind the eight ball. They missed almost a month, full month of training, but then, as you said, he came back to win the Arkansas Derby, and if it's on sheer talent, he's certainly as talented as any horse in the race. The question is, in this where everything must go right kind of thing, getting ready for the Derby,
right,
he just missed too much time. Like American Pharoah missed a ton of time getting ready for the 2015 Derby, but he was such a talent. He won anyway at less than his best, and then, of course, he dominated the rest of the year. Now, whether this horse has that kind of talent or not is up for debate at this point.
If I had to pick a human talent, the human talent combination, I think you know where I'm going here. Ty Pletcher and Johnny
yep.
V, Johnny Velasquez
yep.
on Always Dreaming. Always Dreaming's actually had a really good year. What kind of component does the human talent make?
No, that's a big-time component. I mean, Johnny V, to me, is the... If you said, give me one jockey to win one race, that's him. I would take him right now.
Right.
And he's undefeated with this horse, 3-for-3, as is Todd Pletcher. And I actually did a story on Todd that's going to run tomorrow. Uh-huh. He is America's dominant trainer. He's won the Eclipse Award 7 times as champion trainer. It's hard to believe. It's only his 22nd year as a trainer. He just turned 49.
Wow.
And he already holds the record for most lifetime earnings for the horses he's trained. He's 10th on the all-time wins list. He's going to hold all the records. He's just got this one bizarre statistic. He's 1-for-45 in the Derby. Now, as he points out, he's really, I mean, not that this is great, he's really 1-for-16. He's running 16 Derbies. He's just had multiple entries in a lot of them. And obviously, you can't win with more than one.
Right.
But talking to Todd Lake Wednesday morning, Steve, I got the sense that he is as confident in this horse as any he's ever had. Having said that, Always Dreaming has had a bit of a problem since he's gotten here at Churchill. He's been all nuts in the morning. He's just been like really too excitable and excited. So there's certainly some concern when it's a 20-horse race and there's 160,000 people shrieking tomorrow when they play My Old Kentucky Home that this horse could come unraveled in the post parade. But on sheer talent, he's right up at the top of the list.
And not only that, the five hole is not a great place to be because of the traffic.
You know, I don't think it is. Look, it could turn out fine. Chrome had the five, but he broke great, and he ended up getting in the perfect trip just outside of a couple horses. But, again, I think if Todd Pletcher had his choice, he'd rather be out further out just because his horse is fast, but not super fast, as if he could get potentially squeezed down to the rail by some horses outside of him. That could be, it could be a prop. It doesn't have to be, but it could be.
Okay, where's the speed in this race?
Well, Always Dreaming has some. The owner of Fast and Accurate insists he's going to be in the lead, which is fine. And I can tell you where he's going to be at the end. He'll be last.
Yeah.
And the owner paid $200,000 to supplement him because he wasn't originally nominated. He just threw $200,000 away. This horse has zero chance. State of Honor, who's right outside of Always Dreaming, is certainly going to show some early speed, I would think.
Yeah.
And really, the other speed to me in the race is Irish War Cry, the 17, and Gormley, 18. Although I don't think I don't know how much speed Gormley's going to show, because he just went from off the pace, and typically trainers, when they went from off the pace, they like their horse to try it again the same way. So there really isn't a lot of early speed in the race, which is one of the many reasons I like Irish War Cry, because I think he's getting a similar trip to California Chrome, American Pharoah, and Nyquist, all of whom were like in the top three or four early and just waited till the far turn to make their move and ended up winning pretty convincingly.
If you're in the 3-8 spot in the backstretch, is that about is that the group that you think the winner will come out of?
I think the winner is going to come out of what I would call the first flight.
Okay.
I think the horse that wins will probably be in the top four or five.
Okay.
And I've been saying this to trainer friends down here for years. Whatever you do, try to make this into a 5-horse race, not a 20-horse race. In other words, don't be 18th early where you got to start worrying about traffic. Now, put a horse like McCracken, come from the back and win, sure. And I think Classic Empire is probably going to be somewhere maybe 5th, 6th, 7th early, I would think would be his best spot. They certainly could win. Generally speaking, I'd rather be closer. And I don't know what kind of track we're going to have tomorrow. The rain has stopped for the moment, but we've had a lot of rain down here in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, and McCracken had an ankle injury, I think, at one point, and doesn't have a ton of experience, especially especially in low-grade events.
Yeah, the good thing about McCracken is his trainer's really smart, Ian Wilkes.
Yeah.
Whatever this horse has, we're going to see it on Saturday. And he's run at Churchill three times all last year. He won them all. So he's obviously familiar with the surface. But he just hasn't run particularly fast yet, Steve. That would be my concern with him.
Yeah. Okay, so you and I sit there and we're hanging there and say, okay, it's time to box one here. How would you like to box it?
There will be no boxes for me. I'm a one-way hitter, pal. I will be going Irish War Cry 17 over McCracken 15, the cold Kentucky Derby exacta.
That is the cold Kentucky Derby exacta. So you're going to go Irish War Cry, McCracken.
McCracken, 17-15. Hopefully Irish War Cry around the far turn will take the lead, open up two or three lengths, and then Larry Kalmus was saying, here comes McCracken up for a second. It'll be a great thing.
And at that point, it's celebration time.
That would be correct. At that point, everybody will be looking around, and I will be heading to the windows.
All right, my friend. Great to hear you. Have a great time down there. it's always the best. So, things are moving along just fine here. They've got three signees on the hoop side. So
I saw. Yeah, very nice.
Yes.
Chambers and the guys have been busy.
Yeah, a couple rebounders and a backup point. So,
all good.
Yeah. As you and I both know, they're at the stage where they don't need an overhaul. They need complementary parts. Is that fair?
Yep. Yeah, no, that's it. They were close last year. I mean, all those close L's in the Big Ten, they become solid wins in 17-18, and everybody's smiling, everybody's happy.
Irish War Cry looking for a solid win. McCracken looking for a near finish. All right.
That would be fine, yeah. The 1-2 in that order would be all good.
It's all good. Thanks, Dick.
You got it, Steve. See you, buddy.
See you. Dick Girardi from Louisville. We'll come back. More in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, great to have you with us on the show today. And by the way, Jay Paterno has been elected to the Penn State Board of Trustees, along with Alice Pope and Bob Jubilier. They were the three alumni choices. It's an interesting sports note, obviously. Stuart Mandel even tweeted it out today. Jason LaCanfora, NFL insider, next half hour. Dickus says it's Irish War Cry 1, McCracken 2. The suit's already at the OTB window. Shouldn't he be selling something?
I was thinking the exact same thing.
So was Roger.